I want to start out by simply asking you a question. How many of you today would say that you've had a time in your life where you needed a turnaround moment? Can I see some hands? Say amen. That's me, Pastor. For the rest of y'all, we'll just go ahead and have that altar call right now. If you want to just come. I can honestly say I've had more than my share of turnaround moments in my life where I was in a situation, I was in a circumstance, something was happening, I was in the middle of something. I came to an end where I couldn't see to go another step forward. I didn't know how to move past it. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where provision would come from. Can I keep going? People were against me. I didn't even know why. I don't even know what I had done, and only to realize that I hadn't done a thing. That's just sometimes who people are. Now who am I talking to? In situations where you thought you were doing the right thing and somebody perceived it as the wrong thing, although in the end it didn't matter because it didn't seem to be working out, and you got caught in the flux of that and you didn't know how to move out of the situation. So what did you need? You needed God to step in for a turnaround moment. You needed one moment in your life where you got beyond you and you had to reach for something that was far greater than you because your knowledge, your understanding had exhausted itself. So you needed some super added to your natural to get you to a turnaround moment. Somebody say, God can turn it around. Can I say this? God will turn it around. Now, what I want to do is I want to kind of wade in here a little bit, and I want to do just a little bit of teaching. And at the same time, I want to try to draw some congruencies. I want to draw some lines in the sand that you can clearly see marked. Because what good is it if you get in a situation and you don't know how to get out of it? So what I want to do is try to give you a little bit of a roadmap here as we go, and I want to share a few things with me. So just hang on today, because I want to start out by talking about this. We'll talk a little bit about seed. Now, there's three types of seed. Now, the first one everybody's probably most familiar with, and that's the offering, right? And nobody's sneaking up with you about that. God's not sneaking up on you. Look at your neighbor and say, you're going where you're sowing. Very simple. And 2 Corinthians 9:6 makes it very clear that as you sow, that's what you're going to reap. In other words, it says if you sow abundantly, you're going to reap abundantly. You sow sparingly, you're going to, I mean, it's black and white, crystal clear. No one's arguing the point. We know this. That's just straight seed, right? Seed time harvest, right? You plant and you get. And that's the most obvious seed. But even at that basic level, even at the most basic fundamental level, I will still hear people asking and talking about struggling with their finances, not knowing what to do. They're asking this. They're looking on internet. They're hunting things on Amazon. They're all over the internet, Googling stuff, trying to find answers when it's right there in that verse. We can either hear the Bible or we can hear and understand the Bible. If we understand the Bible, then we have to make some decisions about what we're hearing and what we're believing. So if I know I need increase, what does the Bible tell us to do? If you want more, you gotta sow more. But we want to stay the same, doing the same thing we're doing, but yet we expect God to, you know, open up the heavens and just pour stuff out to us, and we want to go find checks in our mailbox, but we ain't putting no checks in nobody else's mailbox. We want a load of cash to show up at our back door, and we want them to drop it off, but we won't drop more than $10 at an offering plate. Oh, I could be here all day doing this. I could be here all day this. My thing is, it's a law. Do you understand how laws work? Seed time and harvest, what you're sowing and reaping, it is the law of the word. That's how things increase in kingdom is sowing and reaping on every level. We're going to talk about more. This is just one basic one. We're going to move right past this one quick. All right? So the way we even operate is based on a law. How many people like gravity? You know why I like gravity? Because if gravity, the law of gravity, wasn't working, I would be like a helium balloon and you'd have to tie a rope on my leg. So I appreciate the law of gravity. How many people appreciate the law of gravity? The problem is the law that works so wonderful for me, if I run and I jump off of a bridge, that same law is working. And that same law can pull me to my peril if I make a poor choice. Same law. It's just how I choose to engage it. So what I'm going to be giving you is the laws and how they work. There are universal laws and principles that God sets into place. Sowing and reaping is one of them. So we talked about offering. The next one where seed is sown is words. Proverbs 18:21, we know life and death's in the power of the tongue. And what does it say? Those who love it, eat the fruit. Seed doesn't produce seed. Seed produces fruit, and fruit produces seed. So one seed produces multiple seed. You follow what I'm saying? But it's in the fruit. There's more to it when it comes with fruit. Why? Because God, when you plant a seed, he plans on you getting something more out of the deal than just the seed you sowed. He wants to multiply it. And with the multiply it, there's things around that seed that help the next seed do better than the first seed. Call it nourishment, whatever you want to call it. Now, we understand that with a piece of fruit, but do we understand that with the decisions we make in our life? The words we speak over people. Yeah, there was a Japanese scientist who actually spoke to water. I think it was maybe, 15 years ago I preached a sermon about that and put it up, showed the water crystals, and they put the water crystals and they put them under magnifying glass and microscope, and then they put them up in pictures, and you would see this beautiful water crystal. Once a glass of water or one set of water and the other set of water, this group of water, they spoke kind things and said nice things and just things like would be in line with the word of God. Over here, they just spoke things that was horrible, nasty, horrible word, trashy words. And when they recompared the water molecules, the one that was spoken kind and wonderful to, the molecules had flourished and even looked like they had just crystallized even more. They were far more opaque and beautiful. They were gorgeous. And when you looked at the water molecules, they were deteriorated and destroyed, the ones that were talked to in bed. They were physically destroyed by words. Now, that was science. We already know it from the Bible, so I just wonder, since humans are made of about, there's an argument of anywhere from 60 to 80% of water. Do the math. When we're speaking, we're sowing, good or bad. Are you making somebody beautiful? Or are you making them mad? So sometimes we need to watch, because if we don't understand the principles and the laws of the kingdom, then we're not going to know how to take control of a situation to turn it around. See, we're waiting on God to turn it around when God's already given us the information we need to turn the situation around for ourselves. So we have offering that we sow as seeds. We have words that we sow a seed, and we got one more, choices. There's a saying that when you're young, you look like your parents, but as you get older, you look like your choices. Your choices, put it this way, your actions decide who you are as people see you. Your choices decide what you will become. It's not the same thing. Because no matter what your actions are now, your choices can create changes in the environment and in the people around you that you don't have to stay who you are. You don't have to continue in the path you're on. Somebody say, I got to make some decisions. So today, I want to go through, because all three of these things that I've just taught you about allow you to take control of your own future. All three of these that are, quote, sown today will determine what your future is tomorrow. I wonder if we just went through every day and we started looking at all three of these and we started making good decisions about all three of these and we started sowing in the offering, we started sowing words, we started sowing choices, and we took control of that and we didn't allow people to influence, we didn't allow situations or circumstance to influence us in these decisions. What do you suppose we would be in just a matter of days, weeks, and even months? Can you see how fast, watch this, God can turn it around, but unless you operate with his laws, you're not giving him permission. See, the moment you take God's word and you do it, what you've done is now, before you make that decision, you're in control. As soon as you use the word and you follow the word and you follow his commands and you sow appropriately, you have now put God in control. So you say, well, how could God take control? I need God to turn it around. Then you need to put it in God's hands. And the only way you can put it in God's hands is if you put it back into sowing in these areas, because you're going to reap. God's not mocked. The Bible says God is not mocked. And what it says is, as a matter of fact, let me read this to you. I'd rather just say it. It says God is not mocked. And if you look at the other translations, it says you can't fool God. And I think it's the contemporary version. It says you can't fool God. Don't make a fool of yourself. You can't fool God, so don't make a fool of yourself. Because you operate in the ways that he's explained, we can see where Scripture clearly points us to a clear path of what they will produce. And so if you're sowing somewhere else, expecting the good things that you're sowing here, you're acting like a fool. You can't fool God. You can con me. You can con the people around you, but you can't con God. That's what mocking God means. You can't fool him. So it's not that God doesn't want to help you. It's not that God is choosing not to help you. You are not choosing to allow God to help you. You're making the choice. Not him. We're always saying, well, God should have done this, and God should have done that. No, you should have done this, and you should have done that, because God clearly spoke to you and told you what to do. Now, listen, I'm not going to leave any holes in this, because some of y'all are probably thinking, well, what happens when you're doing everything right and everything's wrong? Can outside forces and outside people, can they bring changes into your world and your environment, even when you're sowing good? Go like this. Yes, absolutely. Yes. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. But here's what I'm going to say. If you created your own problem, then it's up to you to turn it around. Listen to me. If someone else created your problem, it's up to you to turn it around. Up to me to turn it around. I didn't do anything wrong. It's not about who does things wrong. It's about who does things right. Because eventually, if they keep sowing to you the way they're sowing, they're going to reap corruption. And so I had a pastor tell me one time, just give them enough rope and eventually they'll hang themselves. Yeah, that used to be his favorite saying. And I used to get so mad because I wanted to do something right then. I wanted him to jump on him. I wanted him to get on him. I wanted him to say something. Do something, man. You just keep giving them rope. Wouldn't be long. And there they'd go. Don't worry about what other people are doing. You have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So while you're working yours out, I'm just teaching you on the way to turn it around. And the way you turn it around is you just keep sowing. You keep doing the things that we just talked about. It doesn't matter if it's good. It doesn't matter if it's bad. Doesn't matter if you're high. Doesn't matter if you're low. Doesn't matter if you're glad. Doesn't matter if you're mad. It's not about what you're feeling. It's not an emotional roller coaster. It's all about living life the way God instructs us to. Because when you do, then God can turn it around. I want to go back to that Galatians 6:17 scripture because I love it in that contemporary English version. You cannot fool God, so don't make a fool of yourself. You will harvest what you plant. How simple can you put it? So look at your life. You're living out whatever it is you're planted. Now, you can look at the person beside you. You can look at someone in your family. You can look... It's something you've planted. And that's what you're living out. And so if you have weeds in a garden, you know, one good way, you can pull them out, but you can also start sowing seed of the better crop. And it will finally choke out those other seeds. And by the way, you get fruit when you do that. Listen. If somebody is coming against you, if something else is coming, you think, well, I've been planting good, and there's still something, there's a situation, there's a person, there's something, and they're still coming against you, or they're still causing this, or they're still coming that. Listen to this. Don't you ever allow anyone to try to fix you. Don't ever place your emotional health in the hands of someone else. That scripture goes on to say, but you follow, if you follow your selfish desires, you'll harvest destruction. But if you follow the Spirit, you'll harvest eternal life. Don't get tired of helping others. You will be rewarded. I'm going to say it again. Hey, don't get tired of helping others. You will be rewarded when the time is right. If. I say, anytime you see if in a scripture, that means there's something required of you to get what God wants to do for you. God wants to do something for you. He's trying to do something. He's preparing you. But that if says, but you have to qualify for that blessing. In other words, if you can't do this, then you can't have what it says. It's not that God doesn't want you. God wants you to have it more than anything else in this world. But it says, if, circle it, underline it, put two lines. Matter of fact, in my Bible, I even have two lines out of that, because you're going to reap if you don't give up. Now, the Bible, one translation we like to read in the King James says, if you faint not, but people don't even know what fainting, they think that you go out and you need some smelling salts. No, it's if you don't give up. This version I just read, you said, you will be rewarded if you don't give up. And some people say, well, I haven't been seeing much reward lately. I haven't been, because you're giving up. And it starts out, you know, it's usually where you get your feelings hurt somewhere because you had a high expectation. That high expectation didn't come to pass. And then when it didn't come to pass, you blamed everybody else around you for it. And then when that didn't work, you ran out of people to blame. Then you went and started blaming God. Well, God, if you loved me, you'd have done this. And if you had my back, this would have happened and that would have happened. And here's God the whole time going, son, I wrote it all down for you. Daughter, I wrote it all down. All I know how to do is send you a love letter. I want you to have this. I want you to have that. But you have to do this or it doesn't work. Amen. Amen, Pastor. Amen. Yeah, I want you to not be dehydrated. But you got to drink the glass of water. It's so simple. You can cry about being dehydrated and cry and cry and cry. Just drink the water. So let's sow where you want to go. What is it you want to do? What is it you want to say? You got to sow. You got to start looking at your seed. You got to start seeing. What am I saying? What am I believing? What are my choices? How are they affecting my life? How are they affecting the other people in my life? Oh, that's a whole sermon by itself. Don't even want to go along that way. You know, I'm reminded of the story of David. I don't know if you've really ever looked at his life. But when he was a child, a prophet came to his house. Samuel came to his house and anointed him as a king. A boy. A boy was anointed as a king. Did you hear me? You're a king. 2 hours later, he's out watching sheep. He's out walking them to the barn. Some king. He's out in the desert. Has anyone ever been to the desert in Israel? I don't know if you've ever been out there. It's eerie, man. One time when we were out there on one of the tours, they left us out in the desert to see what it would feel like. And we were at one of the places that it was believed that David himself sat there. And that might have been one of the places where the bear and the lion fight took place. It could have been somewhere around that area. And I'm going to tell you right now, when it gets dark out there, he's got a slingshot and a stick. Now, you know, if you had an AK-47 300 blackout knockout round, you know what I'm talking about? It would still be eerie. He had a slingshot and a stick. Anybody listening? And he was sitting on the buffet. Wonder how many years he was faithful to that. Wonder how many years that he did what he was supposed to do. Then, how many people remember King Saul? He was being tormented by evil spirits. So he couldn't sleep. So because he couldn't sleep, he used to ask David to come in because David played the lyre, the harp. And for some reason, when David would play for him, those voices would flee and he could go to sleep. Now picture this. He's a boy. He's told he's king, but he's still out in the desert. Now he's coming into the palace and he's playing a harp for a king. And then he's going back to the same situation. I guess what he didn't realize is the place where he was playing, he already owned. Sometime you better look. God may have you in there doing some early surveillance. He may have you looking at the situation you're about to walk into. He may have you prospecting things, having a perspective of certain things. So when you get there, you remember who you were. So the people there don't get treated like they're being treated now. God has a purpose and a plan for everything he does. So God will put you in certain places at certain times, and there's David playing a lot. Then he goes home. So when he goes up to Goliath, here he comes, right? The first thing he does is what? He comes up and says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He comes up because he is not afraid. He has no fear because God's been with him in every situation he's ever been. And so he had to assume that there would be some gain in the thing. So what does he do? Next thing he know, he whips Goliath, okay? Boom, another accolade. Next thing you know, him and his mighty men are out defeating armies. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was king and I had a warrior who was knocking out armies, I'd be putting accolades on him. I'd be saying, you're the man. Thank you for protecting the kingdom. You got my back. Did David have Saul's back? Like nobody else ever in history. The problem was, when he came back from battle one day, there was some maidens hanging up over the railing up there, and they were saying, you know, oh, you know, Saul has slain his thousands, David has slain his 10,000s, and the king heard that. You ever had anybody jealous of you? I could stop preaching right there and just talk about me for like a week, if y'all had time. Here you are, you're just doing what you're supposed to be doing because God told you to do it. You're not looking for accolades, you're not looking for awards, you're not looking, you know, for pats on the back, you're not looking for attaboys, and somebody's watching your work, and they're envious of what they're seeing happening in your life, and they want what you have, but they're not willing to do what you do. How do they say it? Don't judge my glory till you've heard my story. So here's David. David's doing all the right things. David's sowing all the right things. He had plenty. Listen, he could have killed Saul. Had opportunity. But chose not to. Instead, he's dodging spears. See, because he would not refrain and he would not change the way he was sowing, then it made a path for where he was going. So much so that finally, through all the hopelessness, through all the helplessness, David was anointed king. Amen. Why? Because God is faithful, because he did not grow weary. He did not grow tired of doing good. And the other translation says, don't get tired of doing good and don't get tired of helping others. It's all about helping. It's all about doing good and helping people, making their life better. And yours gets better in the process. All right, I'm going to create a vulnerable moment here. I'm going to kind of put myself out there a little bit. Maybe put my family out here a little bit. But sometimes you need to know some things. About 30 years ago is when I first showed up at this church. We showed up at this church, just Anissa and I. And we went with the blessing of our pastor. Our pastor was leaving the church he was with. And there was some strife in the church. And we didn't want to be a part of strife. So we left with the pastor's blessing before all the strife hit. Because we wanted to stay friends with everyone. We didn't want to get caught in a church split and all that. We refused to do that because that's not who we are. So with the blessing of the pastor, still to this day, if I called him, he'd help us, bless us, whatever. I've never burned a bridge with the pastor. We came to this church. We were here, had a son. Our son, you know the story, 2 open heart surgeries at birth. He had some issues. And it was this church we came to, and we started learning about health and healing in a way on faith that we had never been taught. Now, we had been taught, but not like that. And we had to be here in order to be doing what we were doing in order so our son could be preserved. So here we are. He's not even supposed to be in church because he's supposed to be quarantined because of the surgeries. But we're listening to teaching on faith. So what the pastor's doing, he sees us trying to engage in faith. So what he did is he would let us go back in the office. And like Pastor Anissa, she would hold Chaz in the service, and she could watch through the window because he couldn't be in contact with anyone. Literally had to go to the car after we were finished. And this whole time, we were thinking, wow, this church is so awesome. These people are so supportive. They just love us, and we were so excited because we were here working even with a child that was trying to recover. And we were trying to recover from the recovery. Anybody trying to recover from a recovery? And in the midst of that, we find out that there's all these voices coming against us because we're in the back getting special treatment. Special treatment? I just wonder how many hundreds of thousands of dollars of care I've given away at my clinic. See, you got to sow where you want to go. So when it came time when I needed some support, I had sowed plenty in the kingdom to get it. But I never felt compelled to have to explain why I'm here. But I'm not going to lie, the daggers sometimes go in deep. When you think people are loving you, they're smiling to your faces and they're grinning and they're loving you. And as soon as you turn your back, they're like, well, I can't believe this and I can't believe that. I'm going to tell pastor. I'm going to straighten pastor out. So they're over there thinking they're straightening out pastor, and all they're doing is telling on themselves. Did I want to leave? Yes. Who wants to go to a church like that? Then I figured if I go to a church down the road, there's just as many of them at that church too. So we made a decision that maybe we could change things. I don't know, maybe we could just love them right through it. And we did. And we stayed. And we served. And we did everything we were asked. Everything. Everything. Anything Pastor David asked us, we did. If they were giving, people were walking up, giving thousands of dollars, whatever, we were definitely going to be one of those thousands, even when we didn't have it. If we were doing something, an event, a project, we were here. We were helping. We were part of it. Guaranteed. He asked Pastor Nisa and I, would you be the young adults pastors? Yes, we will. We did it. We did it for the season that we were asked. Put everything we could into it. Full-blown meetings. Then three of us at the time, then it went down to two of us that were preaching when he was away. So then we decided to open up the Enterprise Church. We opened up the Enterprise Church, and he wanted me to move my clinic. I was very successful where I was. I had 5,000 square feet, but I chose to move to 2,500 square feet because then I could be a part of the church. So I rent the front space. The church rents the next space next to me. I bring it up there because I'm trying to do everything I can do to bless the church. I got a lot of patients. I was treating probably a quarter of Enterprise at the time. Move up there. I can't tell you the times I got the call the night before, hey, can you cover service? That meant I had to preach at Enterprise, and then I had to come over and preach at this church, do both services, and then go back home, and then Monday morning be right back in my office. My patients were at 6 o'clock in the morning, my first patient, every morning. I just need you to see that sometimes you got to sow where you want to go. I can't tell you the nights when I would see my last patient, I would hurry, finish my last patient, walk out in my scrubs, grabbing the microphone, walk to the pulpit, and start preaching. Fresh off a patient, still smelled like alcohol. Not the kind you drink. The disinfectant kind. How many times? Who's counting? When it came time for church splits and all those things, we sided with the pastor. Had to choose the ministry over friendships. But we had to follow God, not people. One time stood up to one right here. They were having a prayer meeting behind Pastor David's back. You know me, I stood right up in the middle of the meeting. Said, we're not supposed to be doing this. I walked outside, called Pastor David. He came down and stopped it immediately. Yeah, that doesn't put you on their best friend list. That was one of the, they were the, quote, popular group at the time. But I had the pastor's back because I have the heart of God, not the heart of people and their motives. Then the pastor wanted to make me associate pastor. I said, please, pastor, I don't want my name in the cabinet. I just don't want a title. Let me just be Doc. I'm going to do what I do, whether I got a title or not. I'm still going to do who I do. See, people who are called of God, they are already doing what they're supposed to be doing long before they get their titles. I never wanted it. I didn't want the recognition. I don't want to be called. I got enough titles. I don't need another title. I just want to serve God. And I want to see God's kingdom. I want to see people blessed. I want to see people touched. See people helped. That's all it's about. Then all of a sudden, an opportunity comes. I'm blessing someone. Actually, it ended up healing, you know, helping someone to get to their healing through the gift that God's given me through the medical knowledge. And they want me to come down and write a book. And they want me to write several books. So I go down and I get a book contract. I didn't have a book. I get a full-blown contract. I'm a published author, meaning that they pay for everything. Not the kind you send them a book and you call yourself a public. No, they made me an author. And I hadn't even written a book. Wasn't looking to write a book. Wasn't trying to be famous. And then that book, when it came out, they want you to go on TV. So I was doing interviews and local interviews. And then I started doing national interviews. TBN called me one time and asked me to do an interview. And all of a sudden, Pastor Benny Hinn sees me on. He wants me to have me on. You know how it goes there. But the next thing I know, I'm doing interviews. Next thing I know, I'm being offered to go to another state to be over this huge healing center. You know, it was a monster. Gorgeous, state-of-the-art, 10,000-member church. So Pastor David sent us out in style. Pulled us up here and anointed him. And I stayed a member of this church, even though I was up there serving at another church. Paid tithes to this church. Tried to connect this church with TBN even back then with Pastor Dave because he was doing some TV and I was trying to help him. Trying to do anything I could to promote this vision. Nobody even knew it. Didn't want anybody to know about it. I wasn't trying to look for credit. You understand? You don't look for credit in the kingdom. You just look to do what God's calling you to do. Don't worry if Pastor ever pats you on the back. Don't worry if you don't get credit. God's watching. It's all the credit you need. So lo and behold, we move, boom. I have no idea that 2 years later, I'm going to get a phone call when I'm supposed to meet Pastor David down at Panama City Beach for a vacation. We're going to spend a few days together because I hadn't spent time with him, hadn't seen him in a while. I didn't know that 2 days before we're going to be there, I was going to get a phone call saying that at 50 years old, he went to bed and didn't wake up. They asked me to take the church. I said, no. I said, I don't think I'm called to that because I didn't want to be the pastor because I'd seen what he had been through. You know the story. I've told it many times. I was out doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I was out sharing the gospel. I got people shaking under the power. I don't. The Holy Spirit did. I went there, and because I was willing to go there, then I opened up and let God do what he needed to do. But if I couldn't have went there, then the permission wouldn't have been given, and we couldn't have got done what we needed done. You understand? You're moving so God can move on his behalf, but you're the one who's bringing it to the people. And we got drug addicts and crack addicts giving their life to God, and man, I'm in the room that night, and the Lord asked me, would I pastor the church? And I said, yes. Then his presence left the room, and I thought, oh, he was just testing me. Thank God. Thank God. Because I told him, if you wanted me to be a Sunday school teacher in South Nairobi, I guess that's what I would do. I have to have your peace, God. And then the next night, that's when Pastor Kelly called me and asked if we could stop by Ozark. I knew what she was going to ask. I'd already turned him down. And she still wanted to talk to me about it. So we came here. I guess she had had a board meeting that I didn't even know about with all the elders and stuff. And I had recommended four pastors to them that were kind of mentors of Pastor David and people he studied with because I wanted them to have the best here, you know. And they all got voted down for some reason. There was quirks and things just didn't fit. And I get here and all of a sudden they tell me that the board 100% unanimously voted me in. I said, me? What the heck do they want with me? I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm honest. I told Pastor Kent, so I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. So I laid down my life. But everything I was doing, man, I'm in media. I got a book. I got the next book contract on. I walked away from all of it. And I said, I'll come to Ozark, back to the place I swore I'd never come back to. You. Dorothy, I'm walking out the door and I said, I'm leaving. When Pastor David sent us out, I said, I'm going to miss y'all. She said, you'll be back. Got this cheesy little grin on her face. You'll be back. Well, I'm back. You wonder why we trust certain people. We say, there's prophetic giftings and operations. God lets you know who you can trust, who you can't trust. He puts people in your path that will always be there when you need them. Yeah, despite all the other people, God will put around you the people you need to do whatever he's called you to do. That's the answer. And so I can go on and on and on. But I don't want you to think that this has been some glorious cakewalk. When I got here, people left. But just as many people left, new people came in because they were so curious to see who the new pastor was. We had a reputation. We had guns in the windows, and you had to show your W-2 to be able to. I mean, I've never heard so much craziness in my life. But it was right here. It happened. I was a part of it. It actually happened. And then I'll never forget, you know, we went through COVID, and I'll never forget, man, I'm trying to make decisions based on the church biblical standards. You have to obey the laws of the land. That is one of the scriptures. Don't know if you know that. You have to actually obey the, you know, you have to render under Caesar what to do. Jesus obeyed the law. Jesus was not a lawbreaker. Don't get me wrong. Okay. He gave the religious people a fit, but as far as, you know, he respected the laws of the land, and we are too. So I make a decision to close the church. The other churches that already are closed. I think at least one of the last ones to close. And I had people leave the church. Where are you going to go? Just crazy. Then if that wasn't bad enough, then it's time to, you know, to bring them back. You know, and I got the scarf committee and, you know, mask and all this stuff going on. And, you know, I'm trying to tell them, guys, you can wear that mask all you want. The virus is way too small. I mean, it's like wearing a chain link fence and thinking you're getting protection from mosquitoes. I'm not saying it's not helping. Man, I have to see this. You know, this happened in our lifetime. And now they're mad because I opened the church and let people come back to church. So they left. So where are they going to go? Because those churches are open. You can't go to an open church. Are you listening to how crazy this life is? And I laugh about it now, but it hurt. Then we go through Black Lives Matter. Boy, that was fun. You know why everybody got mad at me? Because I wouldn't pick a side. I never will. I picked one side, God's side. Had all these people on Facebook watching my sermons. Look, he won't address this, won't address that. So I went back and pulled 6 sermons that I preached 10 years ago. 10 years ago, they were shouting, bucking, "Woo! Let's go, Bishop!" Preaching on unity and oneness, and how if we just loved each other with God's love, we wouldn't have these problems. Let's just keep it about God and each other and preferring each other. You know that. And then you don't see color that way. You don't see race that way. Well, they're just tearing them apart on Facebook. Look at that, just tear. So at the end of the 6 weeks, I proclaim at the end of that message, by the way, I preached these messages 10 years ago. So we went out and checked the Facebook crowd, crickets. Cricket, 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 cricket. No apologies, just crickets. Why? Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can't change the word to fortify your situation when you're stuck in the middle of chaos. Now, we're either going to follow God or we're not. Or we're going to follow people and organizations and no. Are we going to follow God or are we not? But we lost a lot of people and it hurt. Because we love those people. But we never got weary from doing good. Our son, number one on his tennis team, straight A student, captain of his team, gets a lump on his throat. We send him to someone, friend of a friend up in Birmingham. Next thing you know, he's got Hodgkin's lymphoma. He's got cancer. I'm the health guy. I'm the guy everybody comes to when they can't, they've been everywhere else. And now my son has something I could do absolutely nothing about. How about that? Don't grow weary in well-doing, for you will reap. You'll be rewarded if you don't give up. We never gave up. That wasn't enough. Was it right before that or after that? Chiz, no, it was before that when you had the seizure. Yeah, just before that, I get a phone call. My son says, "Dad, I don't know where I'm at." I said, "You don't know where you're at. You're at school." He said, "I know, but I think I'm in the gym, but I don't know where I'm at." He had a seizure. Full blown. So I did a 911 down to the gym. I beat the ambulance there. Is anybody listening to me? Just because we don't walk up here and I don't air out my emotions and I don't boohoo in front of everybody. Listen, I don't want you to think this is easy. The minute you put pastor on your back, you got a target. Anytime you say ministry, I'm minister. Here comes the target on your back. And I'm not afraid of it. I'm not worried about it. I'm not ashamed. Because why? Because I'm not going to give up. And the minute you take a stand and you say, "I want Jesus in my life," you got a target. Why is everything bad happening to me? Must be something I'm doing wrong. What if it's something you're doing right? All you got to do is keep sowing. All you got to do is just keep sowing. Give like you're supposed to be giving. Make sure that your heart is right towards God. That's a big one right there. And if your heart's right towards God, your mouth will be right towards God. Get your heart right. Your mouth will take care of itself. And then guess what? If you're doing all that, the choices, they also take care of themselves. You start making good, godly choices. Now, it doesn't matter what weapon the enemy throws against you. It doesn't matter. It won't prosper. No weapon formed. Didn't say it wouldn't form. Just said it wouldn't prosper. Why? Because it says, the scripture says that he will disarm the enemy. Disarm him. What's that mean? He's got a gun with no bullets. The enemy has no power. And I'm not even going to say the only power he has is the power you give him. You can't even give him power. Why? Because all the power belongs to Jesus. You don't have the right to give him power. So I'm not even going to say, well, the only power he has is the power you give him. You can't give him any power. He is powerless. He has already been defeated. He was made a spectacle of. And God triumphed over him. Does everyone understand? And so the only thing standing between you and your turnaround moment is you. It's you. We've been through a lot of seasons. All of us. We've been through some stuff. But you have to remember Isaiah 46:10 I just taught? God speaks to the end from the beginning. God has already seen your mess before you even made it. And so therefore, he's already sent a cleanup crew on aisle four. When you're still on aisle three. Somebody better say God's faithful. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that just like David, doesn't matter what he was affected by, even when he made good choices, bad things happened, but he finally became king. And so there's a point in your life where you've made choices, you've done things, and there's some things you need to fix. You better believe it. But I'll tell you right now, you've done some things, and you've sown some things, and you've been believing, and you've walked through some things, and you've been determined in your heart to know these things are going to come to pass, and you're going to get to reward. Why? Because God is faithful. If he's faithful to David, then he's faithful to me. If he's faithful to me, he's faithful to you. Now, some of you may say, well, why did he bring up all that history? Why did he bring up all this stuff? Because you can't understand your future until you know your past. Why have we gone through everything we went through? I am so glad you asked me. Do you mind if I tell you, as a church, why we have been through what we've been through in this past seasons? I'm going to read from you, because remember this, when we came to take this church as pastors, right before that, I'm at a Strang conference, 9,000 women. Shirley Arnold's over there, and she's just shucking the corn. Pastor Shirley Arnold, now Apostle Shirley Arnold. And finally, she just stops. I mean, they're shucking, bucking, she's breaking it down, man. All of a sudden, she says, y'all stay right there. I've never met the woman at this point. Niece and I are over on the end of the stage, and in some of the morning sessions, when everybody else was doing it, we would lean over the stage because we were sitting on stage because I'm a published author. And so we were praying for people. People were coming to get in prayer. Well, I guess she had noticed that. We didn't see her. We're just doing what we do, being who we are. She comes over to us in the middle of right in the middle of everything. And said, you two stand up. We stand up out of our chairs. And she starts prophesying. And the prophecy starts out like this. I see it as two eggs in a pan. And your eggs are about to be scrambled. Now, the only one that had ever given me a prophecy that I ever let even spoke a prophecy of me was Pastor David. And he had just passed away. So I would never get to hear another prophecy from Pastor David. And so I knew when this prophecy was given to me, that I knew that this was the new voice in my life that I was allowed to listen to. And I can take you, that prophecy went on and on and on. It was detailed. I'll walk with you hand in hand. I will walk through the prophecy with you someday. Everything she said came to pass the way that she said. Why? Because it was a trusted voice. So I want to look at that trusted voice, because when she got here on 10/03 of 2010, same month, 2010, she gave a word of prophecy. So the reason why you came today, you didn't know this, but this is a word for you. Because God speaks to the end from the beginning. When he was here, he was speaking to you. In 2010, he was speaking to you right now, sitting here, hearing this sermon on a rainy day. Are you ready? Even though you think there are things that you have held on to in your life, even for years, things that have been in you that felt like you gave birth to or brought to birth. The Lord said, weeks mean years. We're in a moment of a suddenly of things that seemed like they were going to die because it seemed like they didn't get the nourishment they needed, or that somehow we didn't take care of them as well as we should have. But the baby was birthed, and it's going to rise up, and it's going to speak, and it's going to walk. So I declare over your lives today this word from God. Sons and daughters, do you not hear and do you not know that as of this time, many of you have grown weary in believing? You have seen that which I have put in your heart, and you still wonder, why did I believe and why did I see yet not see? Why did you give me sight, yet not have sight? I say to you, sons and daughters, this is the season in which you will see the Heavenly Father, which you have been calling out to, has been taking care of that which you thought was lost, dead, and gone. For this is a season when suddenlies will come, and I will interrupt every plan that is in place to bring you to destruction, and the baby to death. The thing that's trying to kill you, God's about to kill it. For yes, in this hour I will cause you to see suddenly those things which you thought were gone and now be alive. For they will speak to you, says the Lord. The vision will speak now, saith God. For the vision will speak to you, and you will hear the word yes. And as I speak yes over you, even as you have said yes to me, I'm saying yes to you. This is the moment and season in which you have desired and longed to see. So I will do for you in a moment that which seemed barren. I will bring forth fruit. In the time that you thought it was all over, I will begin a new beginning. And for these days, saith the Lord, that I will prove to you that it is not you, it is not about you, but it's what I do. For you have tried in your own strength and will find in this hour that in your strength you could produce no life. However, in my strength in this day, there will be no question. It is God who comes now, says the Lord. For they will look and say, how wonderful, what a miracle. But you will not take credit for that, says the Lord. For I have brought you to a place that I have longed you to be, a place where you gave up on yourself and looked to me. For I will prove to you all those things around you and even to the world that there is still a God in Zion whose right hand is strong and whose word is still shouted from the housetop. I will show you a God who still does miracles and a God who is still in control. So get ready, sons and daughters. Those things which you thought were left behind and seemed gone, get ready. The vision will speak again. Take it into your arms and love what I'm doing. For in this day, it is a sudden acceleration of those things I have spoken in the years past. Yes, I, the Lord God, have spoken, and it shall came to pass. You'll come to pass. Come on, somebody. It's time to watch the way you talk. It's time to watch the way you give. It's time to watch your choices. It's time for the time of the Lord. God goes before you. He walks with you. And he's got mercy and goodness on your six. He's all around you. He's spoken his word. He's declared it. When he spoke it that many years ago, he was speaking to you. I receive it. I sit down 1 minute. There's one thing I'm going to close with here today. I hope you don't mind that I went this way today. Band, y'all can come up, singers. Yeah, y'all can go up. So I just went to Dallas, and I know some of you wonder, why is he always going out to TBN? Why does he keep going out there? Number one, it gives a voice to millions of people. We're able to touch people in ways that sometimes you just can't touch them. But there's a particular story that happened, and I just want to share with you, because some people don't appreciate maybe the value of a TBN. And I just want you to hear this one story. Pastor Niece and I were out there, we're doing what we do, and while we're out there working and serving, and Matt and Laurie invited us. If you don't know who Matt and Laurie Crouch are, they're the CEOs, the owners of the network, and you know, they host most of the shows. And so they asked us to dinner, so we were out to dinner with them, and, you know, we were conversing, had a great dinner, talking about several things, and when we were finished, Matt came over and said, listen, y'all guys got to come over, I got to tell you this story. I love stories, and Matt always, you know, seems to tell good stories, and so we get over there, and he says, you're not going to believe this, but I have a friend, and I've only met the guy just a few months ago, and so he was talking to one of his friends and says, you know Matt and Laurie, don't you? And he said, yeah, I do. He said, well, listen, I want to tell you a story, a testimony maybe you'd want to share with Matt and Laurie. And this guy's name was Anthony. And so Anthony says, my life was in shambles. He said, I was already wounded from my past. Had a lot of hurt in my background. Go ahead, Josh. And he said, through all the pain, I had a bad business deal. He said, I lost millions of dollars. Millions of dollars in just very short period of time. He said, my marriage was on the rocks. He said, so I was getting a divorce. He said, I just didn't see a way out. So all of a sudden I looked and I realized I'm worth more dead than alive. Had a life insurance policy. He thought, well, I could just end it. They'd get the policy. And at least my family would be provided for. And I wouldn't have to deal with this pain. So he goes and he gets his pistol. He rents an Airbnb in the mountains because he wants to go somewhere beautiful when he ends it. So he goes up to this Airbnb and he's sitting on the couch. And as it got dark, so did the thoughts. And he said, the voices were speaking so loud in his head. Do it. Let's get this over. Do it. Kill yourself. You just need to get this over. He said, the voices were so loud. He's putting the gun to his head. He's ready. Just get jacked one in the chamber, getting ready to pull the trigger. And he said, the voices were so loud that he said, you know, when I die, I just don't want to listen to these voices. I don't want that to be the last thing I heard. I want to at least die in peace. So he finds the remote and he hits it on the TV. When he hits it on the TV, what are the chances TBN's on? And there's a guy on there, you know, and he's preaching to him, teaching him. And all of a sudden he gets caught, engaged in the conversation. Well, you know the story. He puts a gun down. And for some reason he takes his camera out and he starts filming the whole event. And he's filming himself, watching himself get delivered. TBN's awesome. And he gives his life to Jesus, puts the gun away, and, you know, now he's a very successful businessman. Again, he's got his life back, got his heart back. Everything is just wonderful. So he's telling Matt's friend this story. And Matt's showing this thing. And Matt goes, check this out. The guy's sending the video of him getting delivered. I said, well, I want to see that. So he shows it, and he puts it on the screen. And the guy that he was watching on the screen was me. Been through. I don't care how hard of a walk it's been. If it's all been for just that, it was worth it. I was so overwhelmed. I couldn't breathe. I had tears in my eyes. I just had to walk away. That's all I could do. So we went home the next night. Matt calls me and said, are you able to do a show Friday? Well, I'm supposed to fly home Friday because I was going to be here at church with you. He said, we need to do a show. And I said, okay. And so when I get there, we're going to do a show, and I'm glad we're doing a show. Well, they wanted to do a show about Anthony. Now, I've been on TBN, I can't tell you how many times, and I'm always doctor and pastor. This is the first time I'm going on TBN as pastor. And I'm walking into the green room, and this fella's walking outside the green room, and he looks on me, and then all of a sudden he just grabs me and ragdolls me. He said, Dr. Hannon, already knew it was Anthony. He's a big old boy. And he was shaking me around. And Dr. Hannon, I'm just, oh, my God, I can't believe it's you. I can't believe I'm standing here. I was a wreck. It just wrecked me. Of course, right before the show, he's going to wreck me. But what are the chances that the Crouches would have been in town, that I was in town, that Anthony could come and do the show? In 2 days, we're putting a show together about an event that we just found out a day before. And so we're sitting there, and we're, you know, right, getting ready to put the show together. We're sitting on the set, and he goes, guys, we're just going to do this. He said, normally I would make this into a documentary. He said, but we're just going to throw this into a show right now and see what happens. Let's just let the Holy Ghost see what's going to happen. And that's exactly what we did. We shot that show. And here's the coolest thing about it. When that show done, they went and actually took pictures of the cabin. And they got these volume studios. They can recreate any setting you want. They can put you in Israel. They can put you in Egypt. Anywhere you want. You think you're there. And they recreated the exact cabin situation he was in. And so you're going to see the reenactments of him doing it. Now, when this show airs, there's something I want you to pay special attention to because I didn't know it. And of all the things that happened, this one broke me down the most. He said, when I was watching you speak, Dr. Hannon, he said this on the set. He said, the screen, he said, and everything in the room started getting white and getting brighter. He said, the room went from darkness to light, and it kept getting so bright, I couldn't even stare at the TV. He's got it on film. And my face looks white and gold. And that's not enhanced effects. And so, guys, do you understand? You carry the potential to release the power of God wherever you go. And so I know sometimes maybe you don't understand why I go and why I leave. But because I go, this man's still alive. And if he's alive, how many thousands of others, we just never heard their testimony? Don't worry, I'll let everybody know when the show's going to air. It'll probably air in the next few weeks here. And I'll keep everybody posted, and I pray to God you'll watch. But I just want you to see how faithful God is. Don't give up. You'll be rewarded. Just don't give up. You'll be rewarded. Don't give up. Can you imagine if that man would have quit? He would have wasted a life. My God. If you're struggling in your marriage, if you're struggling personally, if you're struggling with something that's going on, don't give up. You didn't come this far to only come this far. God's got a plan. If he did it for me, if he did it for Anthony, he'll do it for you. I'm going to share something, and actually I talked about it on the show, but I'm going to just go ahead and let you hear this. Do you know why I testified today? Because the Bible says, of course, by the blood of the Lamb, your testimony, that's how you overcome. But you know why you overcome that way? Check this out. If you research the word testimony, it's akin to a Hebrew word that means do it again. The reason why God had me give this testimony, because he wants to do it again. Not for me. Not for Anthony. He wants to do it again for you. So that's why you came today. When everybody else decided, well, it's raining too hard, I don't want to get wet. That was for you. That's your word. Now, you do what you want with it, but it's for you. And if you've never heard a thing I've ever said, dear God, listen to what I just said. Because it wasn't from me. It was from the Holy Spirit. Now, you just got to hear prophecy line up right in front of you. You wonder why you fought so hard. Now, you wonder why it gets so rough some days. I'm going to come out of this pulpit for a minute. You wonder why it gets so hard some days? Because you're sowing words of life into young people. And you never know the right word that you said at the right time, or you put the hand on the back at just the right time. God knows how many lives you've saved, friend. That they would have maybe went home. Teenage suicide's at an all-time high right now. How many lives have you saved? You may never hear about one of them, but you might. But you haven't maybe even heard about one. And you wonder why you're wrecked, why you're always getting fought. I'm with you, brother. I hear it. But don't give up. Don't get tired, because you will be rewarded. You hear me? Not because I said so. God said so. You will be rewarded. I can tell you right now, you're one of those that word was for. I'll guarantee you right now. There's been so many faithful. Treva, what would I do without you? I'm going to tell you right now, and God forgive me if I say this, I don't think I'd want to be in ministry if I didn't have Treva. There's no way I could do and keep track of everything I had to keep track of if it wasn't for her. She'll make a mistake and try to beat herself up. I said, no, you need to beat me up. I'm the imbecile. Because she thinks she made it, and really it's me half the time telling her wrong information. My point is, God puts people in your life that are so valuable, and sometimes I just want to stop and say it. I want you to know what you mean to me. I can't do what I do without you. I don't want to do what I do without you. I have no desire. Beth is another one. Where's Beth? I mean, obviously my family is first and utmost, and that goes without saying. But I'm talking about there's some people. Where's Beth at? Is she in here? Beth, what would I do without you? I mean, I know I fire you every other day. But we have what we call the quick return policy. But I mean, what? I couldn't do what I do. It's very simple. I could not touch the people's lives that I touch if it wasn't for certain people. The ministers at this church, the Joes and the Rosalinds, the Sam and the Angelus, the Dorothy and the... I mean, where do I stop? Can I just go row to row and call everybody? Because we couldn't do what we do if you weren't here. Do you understand? But it takes all of us to get it done. Now, you don't even maybe think of it this way, but you need to. Do you understand that the life that was saved... You saved it? You didn't hear me. I said, Anthony's life that was saved, you did it. Because if you weren't here supporting what's being supported here, that man wouldn't be alive because I wouldn't be there supporting him. Wherever my voice is, your voice is. God doesn't say, well, you know, toe, sorry. You're left out of this one. Hand, we'll give you half because you did hold a microphone. Okay. No, the whole body gets rewarded because the whole body brings the pass. I'm not even sure that I would have gotten there safely had I not had the prayers covering me. Maybe something bad would have happened if you guys weren't calling names in prayer. Are you listening to me? It takes everybody. And listen, I'm coming to a place in my heart now and in my life now. Man, I'm sifting through a lot of stuff. And I hope you're doing it with me. I'm done with the fluff. I don't want any fluff in my life. I don't want any... Are you ready for this? I don't want any induced optimism. Some people might call it blowing sunshine up the skirt. You know what I want? I just want to see God fulfill the promises the way he said he would do it. Is that too much to ask? I think that's reasonable. I think as a church we can expect that and be okay. If we forget everything else, let's just do this. Yeah, I know this is a little different twist today. But is it okay if sometimes I just come down and just talk from my heart? And yes, I don't mind exposing and being vulnerable to you. No, we're not perfect people. Like I told you before, my God, my wife almost died. Did you know that? She had dental surgery so bad, it was so bad they cut half of her jaw and we didn't know it. And she kept dipping on me. We're like, what's going on here? And we having all these troubles. Finally, they x-rayed her jaw and the top was one of the top specialists of dental surgeons who's an MD as well. He came in and he was somber. He set us down. He said, I don't know how to explain this to you, but I want to take that man's license. He said, what? He said, it was the most inhumane thing I've ever seen. He said, it would be equivalent to gang rape on your wife. You know, so what did I want to do? I wanted to go to his office, punch his teeth out. So there I was. No, I didn't do that. And the sad thing is I could have. Very confident in punching teeth out. But I feel that old man rising up just a little bit right there. Did you feel that? I felt it. He was there for a minute. I got him back down. He's down. Stay down. Back in the grave where you belong. It's my wife. And I had to look that guy in the office and said, we don't do that. What? I said, we don't do that. If you want to go after his license, that's fine. We don't sue people. Man, are you kidding me? What a great retirement plan. I mean, we could have, God knows what we could have sued for. We don't do that. We just don't do that. And so, choices. When you're young, you look like your parents. When you get older, you look like your choices. Look around. So I want you to hold on to the thoughts that we've discussed here today, talked about. Did anybody receive today? Did you? I don't know why, but Pastor Niece and I were talking about, I just felt like I owed it to you, some of you that have been so faithful, to know what you're even involved in and why you're involved in it. So I hope that helped fill in some of the blanks for you. We're not perfect people, don't proclaim to be, but our hearts are perfect toward God. We do love God with all of our hearts, all of our mind, and all of our soul. So if I can, if you wouldn't mind, would you just stand to your feet for a minute? I just really want to pray a prayer over everyone before I turn it over to the announcements. And if you would, I'd like you to lift your hands just a little bit or something, just so you can receive from the Lord. Because, Father, I pray for every person that can hear my voice, that you would touch them in such a special way. Lord, whatever it is that they're going through, whatever it is they've been through, whatever it is they're feeling challenged by, wherever they feel resistance, wherever they feel like maybe they can't get to the next place, Lord, I pray that through the teaching today, giving not just financially, but giving in every part of their life to themselves, their friends, the family, their church. Lord, watching the words that they speak, not over just their family, but their friends, their life, their own life. And Lord, please, most of all, help us all make better choices. Your Holy Spirit, please just put that check. Put that wait a minute in there. If we're not supposed to do that thing, just put that wait a minute there. And Lord, I pray that everyone here will be obedient to that voice. And God, as we move forward, I can't help but think about how awesome you are. Because every time my mind goes to you, God, I think of your goodness. I think of your mercy. I think how you saved me. How you raised me. So I praise you, Lord. I bless you. And I bless this people. In Jesus' name. Everybody sing with me.
On the ground, come on, thank you, Father Lord. We have freedom.
There's different times and different seasons. And then there are specific moments with God. And what I want you to realize is this is a moment in God. But in this moment, it's a compilation of past days, years, months, and seasons. And there's always a point in where you are now that you move from where you've been. And this is one of those turnaround days, because God can turn it around. And I'm just telling you by the Spirit, because I knew what was going to happen when we got here today, because the Lord had already shared it with me. That just like if I put a sign in the ground, a place, as real as the air you're breathing, there is a turnaround at this point. Now, this moment with God. And then we walk from here. Not only are we walking and seeing God things turn things around, but we know how to get there. Because you have the teaching that you need to be able to get it done. So, as your pastor, I'm going to challenge you. This week, you may need to go back and listen to the broadcast. Maybe take a couple notes. Not too hard to remember to sow. Just the normal, the way you're giving, the words out of your mouth, and the choices you're making. If you can just pay attention to those three things and really focus on that in the next weeks and months to come, your life will be very different. So I want to thank you. I don't get to tell you enough how much we love you, how much our family appreciates you. But I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. You are the best sheep in the world.